Hey everyone, you've all been asking me for a while to start podcasting again. Really good to be back. We wanted to kick off the first episode with a recent chat I had with good friend and exceptional human being, Gerard Adams, co-founder of Elite Daily and founder of Incubator over in New York called Founders. I've done over 300 episodes of Ask Jack D, and this conversation I had with Gerard is by far one of the most profound, which is a big call. Gerard and I dive into the viral content tactics that Elite Daily used to build a monthly readership of 80 million uniques, the untold story behind Elite Daily's $50 million acquisition and why he almost said no, the number one non-negotiable trait you need to possess if you want to be a successful entrepreneur, and how losing $20 million in his mid-20s helped Gerard let go of ego, which we all need to do sometimes, and redefine the true meaning of success. This is a long one, guys. It goes for 57 minutes, but like all good discussions, it continually builds on itself and gets better throughout. So grab a tea, grab a coffee, grab a water, get somewhere comfortable. I look forward to seeing you at the 58th minute. As entrepreneurs, we see the world differently. In a world that not only tolerates but promotes mediocrity, we unreasonably demand more. Giving you access to the world's most successful entrepreneurs and thought leaders, this podcast uncovers the untold truths of what it really takes to build a multi-million dollar business while optimizing your personal performance in every area of your life. I'm Jack DeLosa. Let's get to work.
You!
Here he is. The man, the legend.
Yeah.
There we go, bro. No blur or nothing.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
We are good. Gerard, I was just talking about how when we were hanging out in Sydney a year ago, we were going to do this, if you remember, the next day, which we didn't, and we've been trying to hook it up ever since, and finally the calendars and the stars have aligned, and here we are, bro.
Yeah, I'm so excited. You, I must say, are such a world-class human being, Jack. Obviously, your work speaks for itself. I love watching you because I'm like, man, this is like my brother doing this similar work, the same work, but the same passion and heart in Australia that I'm doing here, and utmost respect for you and your team and your community. And just for your community that's listening, that's tuning in, what Jack did when I arrived to Australia was just like unbelievable. He hosted me for a dinner. He literally took care of a whole dinner of like 20 entrepreneurs that came to a meetup with me and just took me out that night, had an amazing time, and just, you know, really took me in and made me feel like home. So I absolutely love Australia because of you, Jack, and thank you for just building that relationship with me and everything that you do. Thanks for having me on.
Brother, I feel exactly the same way. I think you said it well before when you said, we're doing the same work in different countries, right?
Yeah.
We absolutely love watching your journey. I was saying before you came on, I was doing the introduction. I might just touch on that again for those of you that have just tuned in. The man we're talking to today co-founded Elite Daily, which is a brand that all of you are probably familiar with, right? Within 3 years, he grew it to a readership of 80 million people per month, right? Sold it for $50 million in 2015, all before the age of 30. Today, he's the founder of Founders, right, which is an incredibly cool entrepreneurial organization in New York. He's obviously also the co-founder of Elite Daily. This man is also an investor. He's a thought leader. And as I was saying before he came on, he's one of the few entrepreneurs who I have a genuine amount of respect for, a huge amount of respect for in our generation, because he walks his talk. He is a hustler.
Yeah.
He is incredibly connected to self. He, you know, he's a heart-driven entrepreneur, and this man is the real deal. So, brother, I am glad we are finally getting to do this. I'm going to keep it in. We'll just pull it from the video. Yeah, I'm glad we're getting to do this, bro.
Yeah, I love it. Let's go deep. I mean, I've been looking forward to this for some time. You're a hard man to track down too. I mean, our schedules, it was like, tough. But I know you're doing the work. You know, you're the same thing. You walk the walk. You don't just talk the talk. So
100%, brother.
So
good, man. Good.
So where's everybody now from who's tuning in? I'm just curious, like, who's from Australia?
Good question.
Get some comments here and just kind of see where everyone's from. I'm excited to connect with all you on this live stream.
Be super interesting to see how many people are coming in from the States, how many people are coming in from Australia. What time is it over there in LA at the moment, mate?
Right now it's about, let's see, it's about 10 to 6 p.m.
Nice, nice. Yeah, it's midday here. Callum Fryer's on the line. Shout out to Callum, who was also instrumental in teeing up that dinner where you came out about a year ago, man. Callum was huge in putting that together. Lucy Molden is joining us from Melbourne. Judith is in Cairns. Judith, I'm in Cairns next week. Caroline Zanetti, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. She's in Perth. Ken Charles is in Tasmania. Lisa Ross is in the Gold Coast. Kevin Wood is in Melbourne. Caroline Brown is in Sydney. Rob Bennett is in Melbourne. Gerard, did you go anywhere other than Sydney when you were here, or were you just in the Big Smoke?
Nope, I just did Sydney. I really want to explore the rest of Australia. It's huge. I mean, something I've always wanted
to do. We've got to get you back.
Is go diving with the great white sharks, and I know that I have to probably go to, to Melbourne for that. So that's on my bucket list for sure.
100%, bro. So when you come back, I will host you. I will do anything and everything with you and for you. And I will be in the boat right next to you while you swim with sharks.
Sweet, sweet. And I want to know who on this live stream is down to do to go on a cool trip to go swimming with the great white sharks. I want to know who wants to join us. That'd be dope.
And we do have Timothy Tung joining us from San Jose. We've got Justin Jenkins representing New York City. This is good, man. Got two sides of the globe coming together.
Hell yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Nice, nice, nice.
Guys, make sure to share and engage with us on this whole live stream. We're going to go pretty deep. So just definitely I want to see everybody engage as much as possible. Comment, ask questions. Let's all like vibe off of each other. Let's really put the energy into this. Share it.
100%. We've also got Keely White who's saying she's going to take photos of me on a boat watching you swim with sharks. So we've got to tee that shit up. Now, guys, we're doing two prizes today, right? The first prize is for the best question. You guys set the agenda as always. I'm going to fire some questions at Gerard and then it'll be over to you guys. The best question. This is a super powerful bonus gift we're giving away today, guys. It's a 15-minute FaceTime mentoring session, direct and live, one-on-one with Gerard. One person who shares the episode will get free annual access to Founders, which is Gerard's online learning platform for entrepreneurs. So best question, 15 minutes FaceTime with Gerard. Of the shares, share this episode now. Once you've done that, just punch in the comments below. Just write the word shared. And Romy, myself, and Gerard will pick one person, and that one person will get free annual access to Gerard's online learning platform for entrepreneurs, Founders. Now, Gerard, let's get into it, man. I understand, like anything, right, people look at Elite Daily and it became such a huge success story. I love it when you talk about the early years, right, the struggles, the challenges, you know, the setbacks in terms of the seed stage startup days. Talk to us about how the early days of Elite Daily were for you.
Well, actually, believe it or not, the early days for me was before Elite Daily. See, it's interesting. I get asked to speak now, Jack, like all over the world. And it's an honor because obviously people want me to come and discuss the success of Elite Daily. But the truth is that I was an entrepreneur for pretty much about a decade prior to launching Elite Daily. I had gone through. So the early days for me was like the young guy who was, you know, trying to find myself, didn't fit in school, you know, didn't. I felt like school at that time, I felt like it just was a scam to me at that point in time in my life. You know, I think education system is slowly starting to evolve now and embrace entrepreneurship. I mean, I love it. I speak at a lot of schools that are now running entrepreneurship programs. But for me, they didn't have entrepreneurship as a program. And I remember dropping out my first semester was really difficult for me. Like, I'll never forget walking out of finals and feeling like a loser, feeling like a failure. Feeling like I had the whole world looking at me, pointing like, there he goes, you know what I mean? And I knew at that point, like, I had to really take ownership of my life. And it was difficult back then. There wasn't the resources of, like, the entourage or founders. That's why I created Founders Today. So in the early years, it was a lot of, like, overcoming failure, trying different things. But if there was one thing that helped me throughout those early years was, like, you know, I was lucky enough to find my first mentor at 18 years old. And that's why mentorship is so important to me now. And I'll never forget when I had dropped out and I met this young guy. I remember pulling up to his house, 3-car garage, in-ground pool, basketball court, pool table in the house. I remember getting in that house, seeing this young guy in his 20s come downstairs to meet me. And I remember looking at him and being like, you know, yo, what do your parents do? Like, I never seen a house like this. And I remember him looking me dead in my eye and saying, this is my house. Like, you know, and I remember just feeling like, holy shit, I want to know what this guy knows. And that was the moment that I was fully committed to becoming an apprentice and becoming a digital entrepreneur at that time, you know, really learning how to build online communities and you know, I can go into some wild stories, but definitely have had some, you know, I've tried everything from like launching a diet water to fashion brands to, you know, technology companies. And, you know, there's definitely been some great successes, but a lot of failures along the way.
It's funny to hear you say, man, when you walked out of uni, you felt like a failure. I walked out of uni after 3 months as well and felt a very similar way. What was interesting for me is that it was my love of learning and it was my hunger for knowledge and learning that drove me to drop out of uni. It wasn't that I didn't It wasn't that I wasn't interested in progressing or building myself. It's just that I thought I was able to do it more effectively outside the confines of a university.
Right. Yeah, 100%. I mean, for me, I'm an experiential learning, you know, and I think that's something that I'm trying to really bring to the education system and, you know, with our community as well, right? Like roll up your sleeves, go out there, experiment, you know, really figure out what you're curious about and learn hands on. And I think, you know, for me, that's why I had to break out of that
100%. System,
break out of that structure that tried to put me in a box.
Exactly the same with me, bro. So, yeah, so you were an entrepreneur for a decade before starting Elite Daily, right? So I think that's an important sort of foundation that people understand that you're coming from. And so when you got into Elite Daily, talk to us about what were some of the friction points in the earlier years of that journey.
You know, what was interesting about the Elite Daily and why we actually had successes, we really found a gap in the market. And for us, like, I still to this day, when I mentor entrepreneurs, I'm like, solve a problem and create something that you have faced, that you have lived, that you are like 100% just passionate about and you faced it. And now you're like, okay, I want to solve this problem for others. And for me, with Elite Daily, we found a gap in the market and it was a problem that we were trying to solve in the sense that, like, we were getting content from so many different places. It was like overconsumption. And a lot of the publications were handed down to millennials. They were, you know, I respect the Huffington Post. I respect a lot of the, newspapers and older magazines that I would buy at newsstands. But like we saw the power of Facebook one. And we saw that our generation was craving, you know, a different style of content, you know, and, you know, we felt like, you know, why not us? Why not be the voice of this generation and be a one-stop shop? Be the Huffington Post of our generation. Be something that hits on everything from lifestyle to culture to business to health to dating and kind of create that one place that is the voice of our generation. And nobody who worked for us was over 24. It was for us, by us, you know? So, like, our content was really, like, we were the generation writing it, whereas a lot of these other publications were, you know, we're more of an older demographic. And we were like, listen, we're looking for this kind of content, so why not create it? And we literally bought the domain name for $9.99 on GoDaddy, like in an apartment with literally no furniture. You know, we had no furniture, couple wooden chairs, a foldable desk, and bought this domain name. And like, we're a little naive. Like, how are we gonna do this? We literally started interviewing each other first. But we just were committed, you know, and for me, it's like, you know, it's always been, you know, have mentors in my life, you know, take ownership of my life. No one's going to do it for me. I have to go out there and completely take ownership. No matter what your circumstances were in the past, you have the ability to take complete ownership of your destiny and create your reality. And for me, that's been my whole thing, my entire life. And in that moment, we're like, you know what? We don't know it all, but that's okay. That's what being an entrepreneur is. We took ownership and we committed. We committed to doing whatever it took for us to figure it out, for us to test things out, find the people in our industry that were doing it, and how can we actually learn from them? You know, a lot of times companies and entrepreneurs try to, you know, try to be such disruptors and innovators that they don't, you know, that they, you know, don't, they build with the end in mind. I always say, like, think big, start small, and look at, really genuinely, look at the people in the industry that are doing it right. And take a lot of their business model, take what's working in the market, and then just put it into your own brand, put it into your own way, and then sparkle the creativity and think outside the box and put what makes you different. But starting out, you know, there's a lot of business models that you can, you know, that you can emulate that will help you to get that initial traction. And that's what we did. And we were like, look, even though we're putting it in our voice, Huffington Post has a business model that we can leverage, that we can learn from. And their contributor model, and Ariana became a mentor early on because, you know, we wanted to learn from her. And her contributor model was something that we emulated, but instead of it being an older demographic, we mastered how to get our the universities and over 2,000 contributors at universities around the states to what that wanted to share their voice, that wanted to kind of build their notoriety and start to get their name out there and share their experiences and stories with the world. Why not create that that kind of model for us and fulfill that gap? And that's exactly what we did.
Bro, when you said early on in that piece, why not us, man, that resonates with me big time, right? Like, you know, there's a gap in the market. Someone's going to be the market leader. Why not us? One thing that Richard Branson talks about, I haven't seen him talk about it publicly. I've never heard him say it publicly, but he does say it privately. You know, when he was younger and when he was coming up, a conversation that he used to have with many of his execs is, why can't I be the best entrepreneur in the world? Why not me? You know what I mean? I think that's such an important piece, which brings me back to a question. Someone in the audience mentioned earlier, Rosie, I've forgotten their name by now, but I remember the question. The question was, how much of a part did self-belief play in your success early on?
So I'm going to keep it real. You know, I just like many entrepreneurs in the beginning, there was no doubt that I had to overcome a lot of limiting beliefs. And I'm still to this day. I mean, I really, Jack, like seriously, we can get into it, but like I've grown so much in just the past 3 months, you know, in this past year, but even a lot in the past 3 months, spiritually, you know, on a whole nother level. And, you know, from a wellness standpoint, from a mindset standpoint, I'm never not working on mindset. But in the early days, I had a ton of, you know, fear of like, am I actually going to be able to make it? You know, and I think a lot of it was my inspiration was my mother. She worked 7 days a week in a supermarket. I was my first job when I was a young teenager, and I'll never forget that first $200 paycheck and being like, holy shit, like this isn't going to be able to get me, you know, far. And at the time, all I cared about, I was 16 years old, all I cared about was to buy a car, because a car to me represented freedom, and my mom and dad couldn't afford that car. So when I got that check and I knew like I had to figure things out for myself if I wanted to be able to earn not only a car, but freedom in my life. And, you know, for me also, like seeing my mom work 7 days a week, I was like, my motivation was not only do I want freedom for myself, I want to create freedom for my family. I want to give back to my mother and my father. So I had so much weight on my shoulders when I dropped out and became an entrepreneur in my early years. Like all of this, like, what ifs set in? What if it doesn't work out? What if, you know, and am I going to be able to afford to pay my bills? Am I going to be able to afford to build a team? Am I going to be able to, you know, overcome the obstacles of what it takes? Because growing up, when I got those D's and C's in school and you're taught you're a failure, you know what I'm saying? Not knowing that, like, that's you're actually a success by trying, by putting things into action. And so I think naturally a lot of the youth, and that's why I do a lot of the work that I do right now with the youth, you know, you have to start young with overcoming those limiting beliefs. Because like we just talked about, Steve Jobs, LeBron James, Jack Veloza, you know, Danberg, Mark Zuckerberg, some of the most iconic, Oprah, some of the most iconic people in the world, you know, the one thing that they all have in common and that we all have in common is, listen, we all have the same 24/7, but they took ownership of their life. You know, they didn't allow anything to stop them. And for me, it was like, I knew, even though I had those fears and those doubts setting in, every time I got knocked down, I remembered my mom, you know, working those 7 days, seeing her go through surgery, back surgery, knee surgery. I remember my truly like, why am I doing this? Like, I can't have a plan B. There is no plan B. If I want to be able to create that freedom in my life and that freedom for my family, then there's no plan B. So you got to figure it the F out and overcome that doubt. By, you know, I learned this from one of my mentors, you know, and I have so many amazing people in my life at this point, but I have a really great story. I won't go into it all. Maybe in the future, if whoever wants to hear it can hit me up. But I met a Navy SEAL. It was my goal to one day become friends with a Navy SEAL. And it's an amazing story how I met him. It happened to be right before Memorial Day weekend here in America. And that Navy SEAL visited me at Founders. And he said, Gerard, you know, to be a great leader, because I was struggling at the time building my team. And he's like, to be a great leader, it's being vulnerable to the fact that you are just, you're human. You're going to, no matter what, you're going to always have stress, and you're going to have anxiety. You're going to have those challenges in your life. But learning to be aware of it and be vulnerable about it, and then learning that these, if you ask yourself these three questions, and if the answer is yes, you do it, it will build your character to persevere through anything. And it's, if it's the hard thing to do, if it's the most uncomfortable thing to do, and guys, I want you to write, comment what I'm telling you, if this makes sense to you, okay? If it's the hard thing to do, if it's the most uncomfortable thing to do, and it is the most uncertain thing that you can do, as long as it doesn't impede on anyone else's happiness, do it. If the answer to those three questions is yes, it's the hard thing to do, it's the most uncomfortable thing to do, it's the most uncertain thing to do, yes, if the answer is yes to those three questions, do it, because you will only grow from it, period, about whatever the outcome is. You know, if you guys agree with that, comment yes. And that's been my life. You know, it's constant. You know, every time I have a battle or a doubt sets in or an obstacle, I'm like, is this the hard thing to do? Is this the most uncomfortable thing to do? Is this the most uncertain thing for me to do? And I'm like, yes, it is. You know what? What do I got to lose? Do it. We'll overcome it. And I've grown, and it's helped me to build a mindset of taking action and overcoming, and that nothing will stop me.
100%, bro. Have you read Principles by Ray Dalio?
I did. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Man, he talks about, you know, second, third, fourth tier consequences, right? Like when you do, and the universe tries to trick us, right? When something is really, you know, tasty or sweet in the moment, like eating a lolly, for instance, you know, the first consequence is it tastes nice and you get this hit of energy. But the second stage consequence is you get a crash. The third stage consequence is you start putting on weight. The fourth stage consequence is you don't have all the energy you want, right? Often the things that are really, really pleasant in the moment actually have very undesirable consequences thereafter. Whereas the things that are uncomfortable in the moment, making that phone call, sending that email, buying that domain name, right? Starting that business, having that meeting, having that difficult conversation. The first stage consequence is it's uncomfortable, it's uncertain, it's hard. But the second stage consequence is that you made progress. The third stage consequence is that you grew. The fourth stage consequence is that you're now making more money, right? And so often, I love those three things, man. When you can really lean into what's hard and uncomfortable, you start to do the shit necessary to build a life.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. I believe in that. I really genuinely do. That's awesome.
Man, talk to us about, there's a couple of things you said in that little bit that I'm actually going to loop back to in a little bit. But for now, talk to us about, man, 80 million views per month with Elite Daily. What were some of the keys for you guys from a tactical standpoint to build that traffic to that degree that other business owners need to know today?
So I would say that, like, the three core things that that made us successful, and then I can get definitive as far as content is concerned. But I would say that one is we found a gap and we filled that gap. You know, it's like find a niche, you know, and really attack it, you know, and simplify to amplify. Really understand your target demographic and, like, who the one person is that you're talking to. Really simplify and, like, directly build it for him and for her and fill that gap and then expand from there. And that was core, you know, key for us. And then, you know, also similar to Ray Dalio, you brought him up, you know, for us, it was culture. And I know this is a big one for you, Jack, but, like, you know, other than content marketing strategies and things like that, like, what really I owe to my success is the team, you know, and it wouldn't have gone viral and it wouldn't have freaking had 80 million unique visitors if we didn't have a team behind the scenes doing the work and loving the work and understanding the mission. So for me, culture is everything. And, like, you know, really understanding how to build a quality culture through, you know, through vulnerability and transparency and, like, education and causing them an empowerment and leadership and good communication. Oh, got a culture here. So culture for me was everything. And, you know, and then the third was relationships. You know, my entire life, it's been understanding how to become a master of relationships, bringing in advisors, bringing in partnerships, and learning how to actually manage, you know, master those relationships, both personally in my life as you know, as a founder, you need those mentors in your life And as a business, you need to learn how to really form strategic partnerships that will allow you to scale. And for us, it was a lot of that. We scaled content because we formed these partnerships, whether it was Complex Media or Huffington Post. And we didn't look at it as like, of course, there's a lot of competition, but how can we create a win-win and actually collaborate with a lot of other publications and share each other's content to help us scale? How do we also tell authentic stories and do that on a consistent basis and find, you know, we would find an interview and we won an Emmy actually with like exposing certain trends in the marketplace, going and finding, you know, the people that are behind those trends. Like we did something around marijuana and how it actually helped transform people's lives, not just the recreational use. And we had that, we won an Emmy. We got millions and millions and millions of views. And then also like figuring out the formula, right? And this takes time. So for us, it was understanding that in order for us to hit 80 million unique visitors, it couldn't be just us hitting one key viral article. It had to be the fact that we had to master doing 80 to 100 articles per day, every day. And figuring out that formula was important for us. And in understanding how to have a diverse group of contributors so that we can have not just one, but have, you know, five viral articles, and then all the other articles would still add up to hitting our 80 million mark. And then understanding, like, you know, we were late to understanding how important data was, you know, so we were, you know, constantly putting it out things, telling stories. But, you know, I would say I would recommend somebody to early on, make sure you have your analytics, you have someone who's a, you know, a data scientist that's mastering what do people want to consume? Where are they coming from? What TV shows do they watch? What do they wear? Where do they shop? You know, really studying the data, you know, and through that data, we were able to understand trends of what people actually wanted. We figured out that even though we wanted to talk about business, dating was our number one trafficked vertical. So let's double down on dating. Let's do more unique content around dating. And that helped us, you know, understanding that we at first thought that we were a very more male-driven publication. Go to find out, we had more women. And all of a sudden, I was like, okay, cool. Like, that makes sense. Like, you know, let's make sure that we have a lot of women leaders on our team. Let's have a lot of, you know, strong female writers on our team. Having that diverse perspective was really important for us in our company. Understanding how odd numbers work better than even numbers, and you know how important those titles were. But it was a lot of crazy. If you look, looking back at it in hindsight, I was like, wow, like that happened in 3.5-4 years. But when you're in the grind on a daily basis, it's, you know, you don't see the top of that mountain. You don't know when it's going to be. You do not know when that breakout moment or when that formula will click. So that's why I would say to all entrepreneurs, you only fail if you give up. Keep going. Keep mastering yourself. Keep mastering how to create that culture in your team. Keep mastering who it is that you're speaking to. What is your product, technology, or service? Who is it for? How do you make it the absolute best experience for them? And do sometimes the unscalable work first, because that is what's going to ultimately turn into the scalable. You know, so that's what I would say.
I love that, man. Seriously, guys, if you're watching this live right now, wait until we finish it. Watch that back. There was a lot of gold in those last 5 or 6 minutes. This is super powerful, guys. And reminder, ask your questions in the comments below. I'm flicking through the comments and there's some really good questions coming through. Gerard, our next one's from Keely White. She says, when you sold to Daily Mail, did you approach them or did they approach you? What did you learn about what target companies are looking for from your acquisition process or your exit process?
So it's interesting. I mean, Jack, I have a question for you, and let's debate this a little bit. But do you believe that you should have an exit strategy in mind when you launch a company?
No. Okay. No. I believe it's too early to know, right? If when you launch a company, you're like a baby, right? You're not even a teenager yet that doesn't know what you want to be when you grow up. You're a teenager when you're in startup. When you're in seed, you're this baby. In my view, you pursue exactly what you did, bro. Find a gap in the market, pursue it fucking aggressively. I'm really glad you mentioned the 80 to 100 articles a day. Like that's putting in the work, right? Finding those contributors. And then it's exactly what you described. We think we're focused on business, but dating's a bit more popular, so we'll follow that. We think we're for males, but, you know, we're resonating with females, so we'll follow that. Whereas if you start with this real rigid, determined exit path in mind and that's your North Star, as opposed to the consumer being your North Star, it's gonna cripple you.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So at that point, Jack, we literally were like, we're gonna build the number one millennial media company in the world. You know, we were thinking in a similar sense of like Zuck, you know, like, no, we'll never sell. Like, this is like our baby. This is our like passion. This is like the, you know, this is everything that we've ever dreamed of. Like, we're building that, you know, and we didn't think about it. And we just were so motivated just to grow. We used to leave on in different rooms in the office. I mean, it started in an apartment, then it grew to like went from a one bedroom to like a bigger apartment, and then we got into an incubator, and then we got into a bigger office. The whole journey is amazing until we finally had 200 employees, and we had this awesome floor. And but throughout the floor, we had, you know, every month we would put the number on the wall, what was the unique visitors, and then we would have a goal of where we want to be, and we just, everyone would slap it when they got into that office, and it was like, you know, we had this 150 million mark, you know, by the time we got to about 40 million unique visitors was when we're like, okay, you know, we have something really strong here. Let's go and raise some capital. You know, we were bootstrapped. We were like, let's actually go and get some strategic investors involved. We were lucky enough to get in the room with Alan Patrickoff, who's a godfather venture capitalist here in New York City. And we can debate, you know, venture being a route or not. I don't think you necessarily need to go venture for sure. For us, it definitely helped. But it definitely also worked against us too, towards the end, towards that exit strategy. Mm. But you know, what happened was, this is the truth. John Steinberg was the COO of BuzzFeed, right? And they were the number one company that we were trying to grow to compete with, right? Mm. So when he left BuzzFeed and we found out that he was going to the Daily Mail, I was like, okay, for me, someone who knows that the ultimate, you know, for me, roadmap to success is to surround yourself with quality people, your community, your mentors, partners. So for me, when I found that out, I was like, I'm tracking him down. And I recommend to anyone that's on this live stream, find someone that you know will add value and track them down. I found out that he was speaking at a Morgan Stanley event.
Loading something here and telling him to stop. Might be clogging up the internet.
And I, you know, went to a Morgan Stanley event where he spoke, and I waited for him at that door. And when he got to that door to leave that day, I elevator pitched the crap out of him and told him, like, you're not leaving unless you take a meeting, commit to a meeting with me, after I elevator pitched him. And he loved my passion, gave me his card. He said, of course, email. And then I had to work on the back end. I had to go and find who knew him from one of our advisors, investors knew him, that can ping him on the back end and say, yeah, take that meeting. So by doing that, you know, the intention was to get him as an advisor, because I'm like, this guy left BuzzFeed, he's going to Daily Mail. Like, we can get him as an advisor. We'll learn so much from him. And, you know, then, you know, it grew to, well, maybe the Daily Mail, you know, would make an offer for us. But we were like, we'll decline it. We were like, why not create a bidding war? And lo and behold, he came, and he the process was very, very rigor. He, you know, they would randomly come in the office and interview the employees. They would tell us, you know, randomly to just stop running ads, stop this, stop that. They were completely diving into every metric of our platform without us really knowing if they were really going to make, you know, a full-on acquisition offer. But we were like, we should at least explore this. And then when they made the offer, everything stopped. I mean, Jack, everything stopped. I literally, my life stopped. It was like, we have to make this decision. And they were like, you have to make it by, it was December. And they were like, the offer's off the table if you don't make a decision by the 20th before Christmas. And I remember saying, like, wow, you know, we this is amazing, but like, I felt like we shouldn't sell. I was like, I was the blocking vote. And I was able to raise $5 million within like literally a 2.5 week spurt to give us another option to not sell. But in the last board meeting, when I had that on the table, me and my co-founders, who I owe everything to them, David and JSP, we went into a side room and they were like, you know what, G, we did it. It may not be a $1 billion exit. It may not be what we dreamt of, but you know what? This makes sense for our company. It's going to give security to the 200 people that have been ride or die for us. Facebook's changing their algorithm. So we envision that we're not going to be at 80 million, but with these new changes in the algorithm, we're going to have a significant, you know, hit in traffic. So you know, this will give us the ability for Elite Daily to have legacy and stay and grow from here, give us a win under our belt. And then what it'll lead to afterwards will be, you know, will be great for us. And whatever, like, we started together, let's finish it together. And rule of thumb is, like, you know, if your co-founders want out, you know, for me, it was like, you know, I heard them and I was like, you know what, this is the right decision. You know, it's a big win for everybody involved. It's a big win for our team. It gives us security. And based on the market, where the market was going, we really made that decision based on that algorithm change. And I believe it was the right decision. I actually was depressed afterwards. A lot of the what ifs set in for me of, like, what if we didn't sell? You know, would we got a bigger offer in 6 months later? Would we get to that, you know, billion-dollar valuation? A lot of what ifs set in. But you can't live in regret. And honestly, it all happened for a reason, because now I'm the most fulfilled I've ever been in my entire life. If we didn't exit, I wouldn't have really dug deep as to, like, why am I really here? What is my purpose? You know, as an entrepreneur, like, what do I really want to create and leave behind in this world? And, you know, building Elite Daily in the early days, I thought it was the end all be all, but now I've shifted from, of course, I continue to get mentors, but now I've shifted to I am the mentor, you know. And for me, it's like, okay, how do I create what I wish existed to support entrepreneurs, you know, in their early stages, and create the resources and community that I wish I had when I started out, and live out my purpose as being the greatest leader and mentor ever to exist for this millennial generation, you know. And I want to be able to be that for myself and for our community. So I'm blessed that happened, for sure.
Super powerful, man. Super powerful journey. Wow. We're going to take some rapid fire questions from the audience. Rosie's going to throw them at me real quick. That was amazing, man. Incredible, incredible story. Incredible journey.
Thank you for listening. Bye, Rosie. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bro. Appreciate everybody who's on this live stream. Shout out to everybody who's still on and listening to the rant. I appreciate it.
You and I could do this for a day.
Yeah. I would love it. Well, that's the thing. I wish we had a lot of time. I want to freaking dive into you. We got to do everybody. If you want to see Jack on Leaders Create Leaders, our show, we're getting ready for season 4. I got to come to Australia. I got to do a day in the life. I want to do the very best interview you have ever done in your entire life to shatter, you know, the world. So Jack, who's down? If you guys think that Jack needs to be on that show, we need to make that episode happen. Comment below. Yes, please.
We've got to do that, man. I've actually got some ideas about how we might be able to hook that up later in the year.
All right, fine.
So if that's of interest, guys, let us know. Type yes in the comments below. We might be able to make that happen. Fine. Good call, man. I love it. All right, Romy, some quick questions from the audience.
This question comes from Josh Lindley. He asks, Jared, what would you describe as the best attribute to cultivate and learn in order to get ahead in life and entrepreneurial pursuit? And how would you encourage someone to put time and effort into learning it?
Wow, that's a phenomenal question.
Good question.
I would say the number one thing, who else said this? I was someone famous. I think it could have been, like, a, you know, Steve Jobs. But I really do believe it's communication skills. I believe emotional intelligence as well. Has been what I've mastered. So I would say EQ is well more important than IQ. And within EQ, it's learning how to become a great communicator, learning how to have empathy for others, and being a good communicator, that means being a great listener and dropping your ego. So I think the more that you're able to rid your ego and realize that you never want to be the smartest person in the room, you constantly want to be a learner, and learning how to communicate very clearly. And that comes with understanding how to have clarity as to what is it that you truly want in life? What is it that you're truly great at? What is it that you're truly passionate about? You know, and once you have that clarity, you know, really that gives you some direction, it gives you some focus. And then learning how to be a great communicator is everything, because it'll allow you to build a team around you for your mission. It'll allow you to build mentors in your life. It'll allow you to surround yourself with other creators and peers in your industry. It'll allow you to pitch your company well. It'll allow you to, you know, continue to tell your story, become an inspiration yourself as a speaker, as a thought leader. And ultimately, a good communicator will get you to the exit. If you do want to one day have that exit strategy,
You know, if I didn't know how to actually, we sold the company, not just on metrics, but we sold the story. And becoming a great storyteller and understanding how to do that is everything in today's day and age. So I would say master that art, master the art of communication, especially in this world where, like, we're all on our phones 24/7. You know, I would say, so to answer the second part of that question, actually stop scrolling and get out. Get outside, go to a networking event, go to an entourage event, go to a founders event, you know, create your own event. Face your fear of announcing to someone in your community that you're doing a meetup at a coffee shop, and actually get in front of people. Go out and work your ass off to get in front of people, because no matter what, the number one thing, even though that's been the greatest time in history to be an entrepreneur because of all the technology and reach we can have through social media, there will never be something more powerful than word of mouth, period. So learn how to get out there and nurture those relationships and be a great communicator, and it'll change your life. And that works in marriage, too.
Amen.
Love life, right?
100%. EQ.
Yes, sir.
Love that. Oh, Rosie. Last one from the audience.
Okay, cool. Next question comes from Lucy. She says, Gerard, what's your key to balance? Family, friendships, partners, self, business, being pulled in multiple directions. What do you do to keep the plate spinning?
Balance. You know, I'm not going to lie. There is no balance as an entrepreneur. So if you're seeking balance, forget about it. It's very difficult. You know, that's the Italian side of me, Jack from Jersey. But you know, no. I'll say the two parts. One, I would say it's hard to seek complete balance as an entrepreneur because you are, you are on 24/7. Like, you are really, you know, because what I feel is, like, when you love what you do, it really is. I know it's cliche when you say it's not work. I mean, obviously you're doing hard work, but you love it. Like, it's so part of your lifestyle that your balance comes partly from your work, one, but then also you do need to learn to shut off. So I do personally, like, going on a run every day, making sure that I'm healthy and working out has been such a game changer for me. Meditation. I never meditated in freaking 13 years of being an entrepreneur. Over the past 2 years, my sister became an NLP practitioner. She's an international meditation speaker and runs workshops. Guys, look her up, Monica Adams. And she's taught me how to meditate. I mean, it's been a game changer for not only me, but we have our whole company meditate now. And that's been, and we also are doing that with the inner city kids. So meditation has been key for me. I light incense. I'm lighting an incense right now. And food, I'm a foodie. So I love to go out, explore restaurants. I love traveling is how I get my creativity. So I'm constantly making sure that I go and explore new cultures, new places, and just building new friendships. I recognize that a fault of mine, Jack, I don't know if this is, I would like to ask you on this part of the question, Jack, but, you know, I'm going to be very vulnerable here, but I feel that I let go of a lot of friendships in my life during the majority of my entrepreneurial years, because I was so committed to my craft that it was really hard for me to understand how important it is to make sure that I'm reaching out to, you know, a lot of times it's even our loved ones, right? But even definitely your friends. You feel like you don't relate to them anymore. You're outgrowing them. You don't talk to them. You know, definitely now more than ever, I understand the importance of actually just true friendships. So I really try to make an effort to checking in with them, having a phone call, meeting up with them and grabbing, whether it's a beer or a juice or going and doing a workout. But that's really helped me have that balance.
100%, man. I couldn't agree more with all of that, right? Meditation has become a fundamental practice for me over the last couple of years. It's been absolutely game-changing. I now have entourages, the entourage team doing meditation as well. No. Pretty much everything you just said is my life. And now Rosie's
I told you, man, I'm living through you in Australia.
Correct.
And vice versa.
Vice versa, brother. And then what was the other thing Gerard just said? That's
question about losing friendship.
Yes, yeah, yeah, see, yeah. Friendship, 100%, man. Even just in the last year for me, that's become more of a priority for me, exactly as you described, right? In the first probably decade of my career, from, I don't know, say maybe 18 to 28, 29, probably 18 to 29, I didn't you know, so laser focused. I had the blinkers on so much on business, and it was all about the path. It was all about the mission and the impact and the learning and the personal growth and all that sort of stuff. All really healthy stuff, but perhaps taken a bit too far. And sometimes to the compromise, right, of personal relationships. So I think I've gone through a very similar sort of development period where over the last 12 months, maybe 18 months, it's become so much more important to me to cultivate and nurture and invest into personal relationships. It's really important, really important. All right, brother, two more questions from me. First one's going to come back. I said before there was a couple of things I wanted to come back to when you were chatting earlier on. You said that the last 3 months have been a particularly high growth, sort of high evolution period for you. And, you know, it sounded like there'd been some lessons there. Talk to us about the last 3 months and the journey that you're now on and why it's been so profound.
You know, I actually recognized a few of my new limiting beliefs, fears in my life, and then I've continued to become aware of them, and it allowed me to become way more powerful of a leader. You know, I think really masked for me was the vulnerability. I think like when I had the exit, it like really, you know, you have an exit as an entrepreneur, you get this light shined on you. And although it was amazing, the success, for me, it was just a chapter. It's not the end all be all. And I felt like, you know, I really wanted to relate to entrepreneurs out there and learn how to become less ego and more vulnerable. So I had a really big breakthrough in December. I actually got together with a shaman and I went through a sacred ritual, and it made me go. And if anybody wants to talk more about this type of stuff, I can go on and about all types of stuff like this now, but you know, so hit me up. But through that ritual, I faced my fears. You know, I faced my fears. My intention was less ego, you know, understanding my ego. We all have it, understanding it more, and self-love. I never really knew what self-love was. And as much as I'm a giver, one of my fears is the fact that I felt that I have to save as many lives in the world as possible through entrepreneurship, you know, and I felt like it was this big weight on my shoulders because I love it, it's my passion, but ultimately it's not my job to save the world or save the world through entrepreneurship. It's my job to really live my truth and, you know, completely live authentically and continue to inspire those and do everything I can to inspire those. But ultimately they need to look within themselves like I have. And so for me, it was overcoming that was huge for me. And the self-love part, I've never felt more self-love than I have over the past 3 months. You know, just continuing to seek more spiritual mentors, asking myself, like, what is success? And I want everyone to comment real quickly. What is success to you? What is success to you? Comment below what success
in the comments below, guys.
So, you know, I think this is really important, you know, and as an entrepreneurs, we are the change makers. We are the change makers in this world. We are the ones that can save this planet and this world and push humanity forward. If there's two types of people in this world, there's entrepreneurs who solve problems, and then there's the rest of the world who create them. And, you know, well, we create them too, of course. we're troublemakers by nature, of course.
By nature, yeah.
But reality, you know, is like we are the ones that are solving the problems, and we're the ones who have to, you know, really push humanity forward. And what I realized was that, you know, success throughout your life, and I learned this the hard way, Jack. I made millions of dollars in my mid-20s. Whole nother story, and I lost it all. And Khalid Daly was my bounce back. And that was extremely tough for me to do, to bounce back from losing. I was up $20 million in my mid-20s, and I lost all of it in the stock market. So bouncing back.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, bouncing back from that was, you know, was really difficult, and shattered my ego. And so self-love was, you know, for me, has been a big thing, and understanding what success is for me, letting go of ego and understanding that, like, what is the legacy that you really are leaving? Like, when you are, I want everybody to listen to me. I want you to envision yourself on your deathbed. Okay. We're only here for, if we're lucky, 100 years, but let's all for a second envision ourselves. Because lifespan is growing because we're awesome millennials, but let's imagine us at our deathbed and you're 99 years old. You have your last breaths and you're pushing yourself to get to 100. And what do you remember? What are the feelings that you want to relive when you're in those moments of your last breath and you remember all the experiences in your life, the way that you made people feel? Did you fully embrace the gift of life? How do you want to feel at that moment? Do you want to feel like you regret that you didn't live your best life, you didn't give as much as you could have, that you didn't experience the things that you wanted to experience, that you didn't do the hard things, the most uncomfortable things, the most uncertain things in your life, that you didn't take the risks, that you didn't fail and have the scars and have the pain and the struggle to be able to share those stories with your family, your friends? You want the people around you during those moments of death to be joy and love and celebration for all of the work that you have done in the world. And I want each and every one of you to have that feeling during your last breaths, because we do not know how much time we have in this world. You may hear it from a lot of different people, but it's the truth. You don't. The universe has been around for billions of years. We have less than 100 years to make an impact on humanity. So, Jack, I want to tell you that this message that I'm telling you right now is, you know, the first time I've really opened up about this side of me, and I'm going to be releasing my finale to season 3 of Leaders Create Leaders, and it's probably the deepest video that I'm ever going to produce in my life. And I'm excited for it. I want everyone to be prepared for it and to share it and to tell me how they connect with it. And ultimately, if there's one thing you take away from this entire live stream, it's to recognize that you have the gift inside of you. You were born with it. It will follow you for the rest of your life. And the moment that you let go of the attachment that you have of what you thought was success, anything material, any type of attachment, and that true success is living a complete, fulfilled life. It's embracing the gift, the truth that you are everything that you were meant to be in this exact moment. And the moment that you know that and believe it and put those beliefs into action, you will be that change maker. And that is what makes an entrepreneur great. That is why we are so, you know, we are such an unbelievable breed of human beings. And because we need to share that message through our work and through our crafts. So I hope that everybody feels that and takes what they will with it and put that energy into their work.
Yes, sir. Bro, it is not very often I do an interview and get fucking inspired myself. That is incredible.
I love you, man. I can't wait.
I love you too, bro.
We need to listen. Yeah, bro, let it out. Let's go. Let it the fuck out. Everyone who's on this live stream that heard that, I want you all to scream right fucking now. Let's go. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Make it happen.
Let's go.
Sir.
Yes.
What a beautiful way. What a beautiful crescendo to end. I got my fucking team back here. Everyone's watching us laughing and cheering. This is fucking good. This is a good interview. Guys, perfect moment. Follow Gerard Adams. This guy is changing the fucking world and leading a generation. Gerard Adams on Instagram. Rosie will post a link in the comments below. Also, check out his YouTube series, right? He just mentioned he's about to release the finale for season 3 of Leaders Create Leaders. This is insider secrets, guys, and becoming a successful entrepreneur, becoming a fulfilled human being. I've seen some of the behind-the-scenes stuff going into episode 3, so I can vouch it's going to be big. So make sure you subscribe to that. Check that out. YouTube. Rosie will post a link in the comments as well. So get following this dude. Gerard, this conversation.
And Jack, if you could put a link to founders and tell them, you know, to hit me up.
Yes.
What we'll do is, Jack, I'll send this to you, but I know we're doing a free membership for one of the individuals that are listening, but I'll also throw in a trial for people to like, just to try it out. So I'll give you a discount code for anybody that's particularly watching this now, I want y'all to have an opportunity to check out Founders as well and be a part of, because shout out to my entire team at Founders and all of our members. It's literally like, that's why we need to collaborate. It's like your tribe, you know? It's like if we come together, that community, it's so freaking empowering. 100%. It's insane. So I want people to be able to have that opportunity, and shout out to all the founders that are members. And Jack, we need to nurture our friendship. We need to nurture that.
That's like, right.
I challenge you
100%,
to start being open to us communicating more consistently, because you are also a leader of a generation. You are a leader of a country. And me and you need to be communicating, because right now entrepreneurship is global, my friend. So let's fucking think about what you're doing there that's working, what's happening here that's working, and see how we can help propel both of our missions forward.
My brother, thank you so much. That was fucking incredible and inspiring. You got me fired up.
Woo! That's what's up.
Yes, sir. Too good, man. I love you. Let's keep talking.
Let's do it. Let's build. Let's grow. And let's lead.
Do this.
Love you, bro. And love your community. Guys, I hope to be hearing from you. Let me know what you think about this live stream. My number one platform right now is Instagram. So if you can, comment on my latest post about this live stream and how it empowered you, just so that maybe someone sees it, they check it out, and it changes a life. And appreciate everybody who stayed tuned in.
Do that, guys. This live we were supposed to do for 30 minutes. We've been on for, I think, like an hour and 10 or something, right? You'd all agree. Gerard's given like 1,000% for the last hour. Jump on his Instagram. Leave him a comment. Reciprocate that love. Gerard, let's keep talking.
All right, cool. Bye, guys. Crush.
See you, brother. Catch you, man. Ciao.
Thanks for tuning into today's podcast. I'm Jack DeLosa. If you enjoyed listening, make sure you hit subscribe and you'll be the first in line to get every new episode sent directly to your phone. While you're at it, open Instagram and connect with me. My handle is simply at Jack DeLosa, DELOSA. This is where you'll find me every day sharing the secrets of scaling multi-million dollar businesses and giving you a behind the scenes look at what it really takes to build a life that you love. You can also find me on all the usual places, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Just search Jack DeLosa. Thanks again for listening. And as always, dream out loud. That's a wrap.
Yeah.